Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. And as Alex mentioned earlier in the service, last Sunday was a very exciting Sunday for Richview as you overwhelmingly called Pastor Tyler to be your lead pastor, who begins officially tomorrow. So congratulations to Richview. Congratulations to Tyler. It was just over 2 years ago that Tyler and I were kind of thrust together to lead in this time of transition here at Richview. And it's been an incredible journey over these past 2 years. And for me personally, I am just so thrilled to have journeyed with Tyler. I have just grown to appreciate him, to recognize the ways that God has gifted him, his passion for God, his passion for the church, his love for Richview. And I don't think you could have made a better choice. And I am so excited to see what God does in the life of you together in the coming days. And as part of celebrating that, we are going to have an induction service here at Richview on March 7th. An induction service is like a more formal commissioning, an opportunity to reflect on the realities of what it means to be pastor and congregation together. And we have invited Pastor John Boyacek to speak on that Sunday. Pastor John was a mentor for Tyler before coming here to Richview, and of course is also the brother of the previous pastor here at Richview, Joe Boyacek. And so I know that that will be an exciting Sunday to look forward to and celebrate it again. That is March 7th. Let me lead us in prayer before we jump into our message. Father, this has already been a rich time together, and I hope that people online have been able to enter into the wonderful worship that we have experienced. I'm so thankful that Kevin and Jessica were able to be with us this morning to lead us in worship. They are so gifted, and it has been a wonderful blessing to have them back with us today to lead us in worship. And Father, I am so thankful for Pastor Tyler and the wisdom of this congregation to call him. And I am personally so excited about the days ahead, and I pray that you would bless them together and bless this church. And Father, now as we turn to your word, pray that you would help us to understand your word, apply it to our lives, to know your will in ways even more. Draw us to yourself by your Spirit. Grant us understanding of your word and how you would have us apply it. For in the name of Jesus, I would pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing in our series on the letter of 1 Peter that was written to people scattered across a significant geographical area in the Roman Empire in a time when it was not the in thing to be a follower of Jesus. And maybe you can relate to that. Believing in and following Jesus was going to set you up for conflict, for misunderstanding, for ridicule, maybe even persecution. And the people that Peter was writing to, they weren't all in one location like Jerusalem or Rome. They were, well, scattered. Not in the same way that we are scattered because of this pandemic, but They likely struggled with some of the same things that we are struggling with: isolation, anxiety, uncertainty, discouragement, wondering what God was up to, maybe even wondering at times if following Jesus was such a good idea or worth putting much time and energy into. And yet, from the beginning, from the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all kinds of people, when they put their faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus, people were meeting when they could, sharing, learning, breaking bread together, worshiping, and being formed together in this thing called the ecclesia. In Greek, literally, the called out ones, the church, the body of Christ. You see, from the beginning, Christianity was not just about a personal belief in Jesus, but about being birthed into the community of Jesus' followers, the church, the family of God. And today, in our study of the letter of 1 Peter, we have come to one of the richest writings in the New Testament regarding the nature of the church, even though the word church doesn't appear, for Peter prefers some other descriptions. These verses are filled with tons of symbolic language, images, even direct quotes from the Old Testament. I personally love this passage of Scripture, and I've come back to it over and over again, and you can come back to it over and over again to be reminded about what the church is all about. I've entitled my message, "What's the Big Deal About Church?" And hopefully that question at least begins to be answered as we consider this passage of Scripture. So I'm going to begin by reading the whole passage. I hope that you will follow along, maybe even reading it out loud where you are in your living rooms or where you've gathered today. And then you're going to want to keep your Bibles open or your app or whatever you're using. Keep it open to this passage so that you can hang in here with me. But I'm going to begin 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.'" Peter says, "Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe," quoting Scripture again, "the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." May God bless his word. There is so much packed into these seven verses, but I'm going to focus on three things or themes that I believe these verses center around. And the first is the new way. So, what's the big deal about church? Well, first, the church announces, proclaims, believes, and lives in the new way. The new way to be in a right relationship with God. And that new way is through Jesus, who Peter here describes as the living stone, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies regarding the cornerstone. Verse 4 says, as you come to him, as you draw near to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. The living stone. You see, the church is foremost about coming to Jesus, the living stone. Peter is drawing this imagery of a stone from the Old Testament, which he quotes shortly. But he calls Jesus here a living stone. Jesus similarly liked to use physical items to describe himself, such as living bread, living water. You see, in Jesus we find true life, spiritual life, eternal life. He's the living one. He's the one through whom we can find true life. But why a stone? Well, we can also think of the psalmist's celebration of God as a rock. Psalm 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You see, Jesus as the living stone is the one we can count on, we can trust in, we can rest in, find our security, place our hopes in, build our lives upon. It's a rich image. Yet, Peter notes in that opening verse that we're looking at today that initially the living stone was rejected. The verse continues, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Peter is here in very brief words referring to the fact that Jesus went to the cross, that his own people crucified him, unrecognized and rejected by his own people as the Messiah, rejected by man. But in the grander plan of God, he was God's chosen instrument to bring salvation to mankind. Where is Peter getting these grand thoughts? Well, from the Hebrew Scriptures themselves. Peter wants his readers to know that Jesus is, in fact, the fulfillment of Israel's own Scriptures. And so he quotes from them. Verse 6, quotes first from Isaiah 28 and verse 6. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen, precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Here is prophesied the good news of salvation that God will provide. And now Peter is proclaiming, now it's here. God has now provided a way of salvation. But we must come to him. We must believe in him. Put our faith in him. The new way has come. The Savior has come. You see, this is the thought that Peter expands upon in verse 7. He says, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. I hope that he is precious to you today. That you know this new way of Jesus, not by works, but by grace, by his provision. He came to save us. You see, Jesus is the way to God, the way of life, the way that God himself has provided, the cornerstone. But Peter continues, second part of that verse 7, but to those who do not believe, Peter now shifts his focus. And now quoting again from the Hebrew Bible, first from Psalm 118, 22, and then from Isaiah 8:14 writes, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And Peter summarizes, they stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. What's Peter saying here? He's saying what we do with Jesus, what every person does with Jesus, is of paramount importance. It is either our salvation or our ultimate undoing. For Jesus is the cornerstone, the stone around which everything else is built, but without which everything collapses. Jesus is the way of salvation, the way of life. But sadly, many will find themselves fulfilling the scriptures that prophesied that many reject him and would stumble and fall. See, God knew, as God knows all things, that many would not trust in Jesus. And I believe it is this sense that we are to understand that challenging phrase, which is also what they were destined for. You see, we are to understand that as great and as precious as Jesus is, that we should not be surprised that many do not believe. This too has been prophesied. You may be unsettled, maybe even stumble a little bit yourself by this teaching. You see, a great debate in theology has taken place over the centuries regarding the mystery and the dynamic between human responsibility, free will, and God's sovereignty. Scripture teaches both that God sovereignly and in grace and mercy chooses, calls, draws people to himself, and at the same time requires us to respond in faith and to obey the message of salvation when we hear it. And we see that tension right in our passage that we're looking at today, where Peter writes that those who believe find Jesus precious, clearly encourages faith, and also states that those who stumble are those who do not believe, who disobey. Yet, he calls those who believe chosen by God, and those who disbelieve as those who are destined to do so, at least for a time. For many who initially stumble may yet turn and believe, but of course some won't. These are not easy truths, maybe even impossible to fully get your head around. For me, I accept the mystery of it, that I cannot fully comprehend God's ways, while I fully trust in the God who is revealed as holy and good and merciful and just. I must at the same time neither deny my responsibility to trust and obey, while acknowledging that I ultimately owe everything, everything to God who saves me by his grace. I'm going to leave it there. Peter's main point, and this is what we need to keep our focus on in this passage, is the centrality and the importance of Jesus. And that's what makes the church. He is the cornerstone. We are first and foremost Jesus people. People that have come to and continue to draw near to him. Again, is he precious to you? The big deal about church is about first coming to and building our lives upon Jesus. The new way, the only way, worshiping him, believing in him, growing in him, coming to him. Secondly, in this passage, Peter tells us that the church is the new temple. Look again at verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes those words, spiritual house, are translated as spiritual temple, and that is clearly what Peter has in mind as he's talking about priests and sacrifices and so on. The physical temple that was so central and so important in the Israelites' worship and practice of faith is now, for Jesus' followers, the church, the community of what Peter describes as living stones being built together, and even a holy priesthood. Powerful imagery and powerful implications. You see, the temple and the priesthood, they were at the very center of Israel's way of relating to and worshiping God. And now, Peter says, that's what they are as a community of Jesus followers. They are the new temple. Take this in. We, as followers of Jesus, are the new temple where God reveals his glory, the glory of Jesus. You see, what the temple and the priesthood and the daily sacrifices were for the people of Israel, as we read about in the Old Testament, that is what we are as Jesus followers. And this is no small thing. Do you see yourself as a holy priest before the living God? Offering spiritual sacrifices. It's a huge honor and a huge responsibility. As a church community, you have just called a new lead pastor in the person of Tyler. And that's a very exciting thing. But he is not the sole priest in the church of Jesus. The ministry does not belong to him. It belongs to all of you together, living stones. Pastor Tyler has some unique responsibilities, which I know he will do to the best of his ability. But each of you do too. You see, it's when you work together, that exciting things take place. And it's in that that Jesus is revealed as his new temple. The big deal about church is that when followers of Jesus really take up their calling, then the glory of God gets revealed in the person and gospel of Jesus as it's being proclaimed and lived out, and more lives get transformed. What awesome privilege and responsibility. And I hope that you get excited about that, because if you don't, then you're missing it. You're missing out on God's plan. Thirdly, in this passage, Peter celebrates the new community. Look again at these wonderful words in verses 9 and 10. You can almost hear Peter kind of bubbling over with excitement. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Again, as we have seen several times in this letter, Peter layers term upon term and idea upon idea till we get this kind of kaleidoscope of richness. And it would be worth reflecting on each word and phrase, but I'm simply calling this together new community, this new people of God that the church is envisioned and meant to be. Now, I do want to point out that Peter is not making up all these terms. He's actually repeating and alluding to Old Testament phrases and now applying them all to the church. And a very significant one is from Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, where freshly rescued out of Egypt, this very critical point in the journey of Israel, having been freshly rescued out of slavery in Egypt, at the Mount of Sinai, God is making covenant with his people. And he calls them a treasured possession. And he calls them a kingdom of priests. And he calls them a royal nation. And now Peter applies all of that to the church. You see, Peter is teaching that through Jesus, we are God's new covenant people. And in this covenant now of grace and mercy by the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, we celebrate always our deliverance from sin. That we have the blessing of being born anew by His Spirit and having been brought from darkness into light. We are God's rescued people. We are His special possession. Wow. We are the people of God, blessed with the riches of Christ, that we might bless the world, fulfilling God's plan from old. All the wonders of God's plan that is being fulfilled in you and me as His people. What's the big deal about church? It's the fulfillment and working out of God's plan established thousands of years ago. It's the old made new. It's the old fulfilled. It's the new way, the new temple, the new community. The church is the living, worshiping, proclaiming, serving people of God. And it is the most important thing happening on planet Earth because that is what God ordained it to be and to do. And so, my friends, this morning, live like it. Live like it. Breathe it in and breathe it out. Celebrate it. Let it shape your life. Let's live out our calling. No matter how scattered you are, no matter how difficult the circumstances you may be living in, this is who we are by God's amazing grace and mercy. Let's pray. Father God, as I reflect on your word, I get captured again by the vision of what the church is meant to be. And Father, we confess that sometimes we fall so short of that. And sometimes we get caught up in such trivialities. But when we look again at your word, what it's envisioned to be and what it's meant to do, we cry out for your Spirit to fill us, renew us, that we may do what you visioned the church to be and to do. Father, may this be true for Richview, this one field of your blessing, of your worldwide church. But this church is designed to shine for you. And may it do so. May they keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, the cornerstone. May they live in and live out His love and His grace, His mercy. May they celebrate who they are as the new temple. And may they enjoy the privilege of being your people, the new community, and live out all of those blessings in this world, that others might be drawn in, might also come to be living stones in your beautiful temple, the church. Thank you, Father, that we can celebrate and meditate and apply these things to our lives. Help us to do so by your Spirit. For in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.